Would you turn with me, please, to the 6th chapter of the Gospel by Matthew? We want to look at what is affectionately known as the Lord's Prayer. Interestingly, I don't know whether you've ever thought of this, the Lord never prayed this. The Lord can't pray it because it asks for forgiveness of sins and he doesn't qualify. We have gone through the introductory work on this and the early part of the chapter, which if you're not familiar with, I strongly suggest that you read. It is profitable. But particularly, verse 7, I'm looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, please note, "And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as," and that's a pretty strong word, "as the pagans do." The inference is that you're a pagan and a hypocrite if you use this prayer in vain repetitions. "For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them." Or to put it in modern English, don't do it that way. That's as clear as the language can make it, I believe. Well, we've been through these early parts. Let's read the prayer. We've just sung it, but let's read the prayer, particularly to the spot that I want to go this morning. Matthew chapter 6, commencing at verse 9. "After this manner," notice that, please. Don't use these words. This is a scheme. This is an outline. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father." That's pretty simple language. The question is, if he is not, don't pray this. This is not something to be just rattled off. This is an outline. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on this morning. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, reverent, very special is his name." And where I want to pick up this morning, let's start right there. "Hallowed be thy name." We've mentioned it. Let me go back to a quote that I would like to give you. Perhaps some of you, if you are a Christian book reader, have heard of a man by the name of A.W. Pink. His works are very profitable. And this is a quotation from him. "All that has been spoken and written by godly men on prayer is insufficient. What they need can be discovered only as the great hearer of prayer is pleased to reveal his will to us. This he has done. 1. By opening up a new and living process into his immediate presence." Think of that. Into his immediate presence. 2. By appointing prayer as the immediate means of intercourse and blessing with the Lord. And 3. Supplying a perfect pattern, a direction upon which our words can be hung. Interesting. Would you know, we just looked at the word, hallowed be thy name. I would like to speak to some of the young preachers, particularly young men that have a calling in this direction. There are some wonderful, wonderful names that are ascribed to the Lord Jesus and to his Father in Scripture. Let me read 7 of them, please, and to elucidate before a congregation the significance and the meanings of these titles is a wonderful thing indeed. Perhaps you've heard the word
of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord brings peace. Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, and Elohim, the Creator God. Every one of those should be seriously considered, and we should be familiar with those phrases. Now, what I want to start with this morning is the next phrase, which is, Thy kingdom come. God has promised in His word that He's coming back again. And when He comes back again, He is coming with a kingdom. When is the next question? And I would suggest to you that maybe the best indicator that we have of when that's going to happen is this morning's newspaper. The world is falling apart. Are you aware of that? I think it's so easy to get hardened to what is commonly reported on the newspaper. Young men are raising Cain all over the place. Our women are being defiled. We have soldiers overseas that are randomly being shot and killed. There are disasters. People, you have contacts with Africa and here in this assembly. What's going on in the slaughter, literally the slaughter of men and women, is almost indescribable. The world morally and spiritually is just in an awful shape. My daughter and her two children paid a visit to the school holidays and they could come down, and we took them into New York, which is pretty easy from North Jersey. We were at Radio City to see the ice skating and walking Fifth Avenue and so forth. And we passed by St. Patrick's Cathedral. I have been in that place several occasions. That is an experience if you have never been there. The building is just gorgeous, if that kind of stone structure appeals to you. There was a service going on, and there was a priest reading a sermon, which we sat down and listened to for a few moments, which was going nowhere, which had no message that I could detect from it. While we were there, the offering was taken, and men with boxes on long poles were pushing these things, and one of them passed right by us. There were nothing but single dollar bills in that box, the smallest denomination that you can give and people not make too much fuss about it, I guess. Devout people, I'm sure, there for a blessing from God, and there was nothing apparent at all. Now, the Lord has given His word that I am coming back again. He went up, He rose to be with His Father. That's all recorded for us in the Gospels, and He is coming back again. And I'm suggesting, while no dates are given, and it is a foolish thing even to predict anything of that kind, the spiritual situation in the world today desperately needs intervention from somewhere outside the earth as we know it. Leadership is failing, and sin and disaster is everywhere. Now, all we can do is to conjure up that when the Lord comes, all of that is going to be changed. And there is a word that Christians are looking forward to, a word that is used for that time when the Lord is going to return. That word is rapture. I'm sure you've heard. And the Bible tells us that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump will sound, and those Christians, men and women that have trusted Christ as their Savior and have died, will rise first. And then those of us, born again Christians, not the general public, men and women who have had a point of time in their lives when they acknowledge that we do not deserve anything from God, we were born in sin and we have practiced sin all our lives, but there was a time when we discovered and it was preached to us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that's what the Calvary experience is all about. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Our Jewish friends, as recorded in the Old Testament, someone has even putting it this way, rivers of blood from Jewish altars have flown. That is literally true. But the blood of bulls and goats and sheep does not have the power to take sin away. This is why precious blood had to be slain. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was not a martyr. His life was not taken from him. It was a deliberate foreknowledge planned in the glory before he ever came. He came to be God's sacrifice for sin. And the scriptures are as clear, the youngsters in the Sunday school behind me, and you've memorized it too, God so loved that he gave. Gave what? Not what. Who? He gave his only begotten son. Gave him into the hands of sinful men to do with him of the ugliness from their hearts. You're aware that there's a moving picture about to break on the public domain, I guess, the Passions of the Lord Jesus. And you're going to read all kinds of things, and perhaps you have already. My problem is, can we trust those who work with Hollywood to do anything that would be profitable? Or are we going to look at, and they say it is very drastic, very, very cruel almost. Is that going to leave impressions in our minds that will affect our understanding of Scripture? I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know what you're going to do about that, but I have reservations. I'm not sure I can trust these people to do something spiritually for me. They do not have a background for that, do they? So I just say, be careful, be careful. Precious blood had to be shed. Well, the rapture is approaching. And those men and women, boys and girls, age is not a factor, sex is not a factor, men and women who have had an experience of salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going up. Think about that. I have been up 37,000 feet. I kind of like it. It's pretty nice. But I'm also pretty happy that there's an airplane around me when I go up. This doesn't say anything about that. We're going up. I suspect that we will not be looking back. There's something far greater to anticipate. But do you remember last Lord's Day? Science now has not an explanation for that, but it is at least something that people can think about. The Lord Jesus, his body was changed when he was resurrected. Do you remember that? He was sitting at a table in the town of Emmaus with two brethren, and they sat down and they broke bread. And immediately he disappeared. Gone. There was a company of Christians, disciples, back in Jerusalem who were gathered together, I suppose brokenhearted from what they have just seen, but there was good news. He is resurrected. He isn't in the grave anymore. And while they were sitting, standing, whatever, the Lord Jesus appeared in their midst. And it's just a little phrase, the door was not opened. How do you get into a room through a closed door with the same body that disappeared in the Emmaus, all right? A resurrected body out of sync with physical things. Maybe the word spiritual body is what we can use. But the scripture tells us at a point in time, all that are dead in Christ will rise first. And then those of us who remain are going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That possibility is closer than it has ever been. The scriptures would be correct if that happened this afternoon. And the question is, if it did happen this afternoon, are you prepared to go? Has there been a time in your experience when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, please notice with me. When that happens, incidentally, maybe some of you are familiar with the magazine Israel My Glory. That's not a common magazine. It's written by Jewish Christians, but there's some quite profitable things in it. Some months ago, there was a cover on this magazine that I think caught a lot of people. The scripture tells us that when we are instantaneously with the Lord in glory, there is going to be, and I use the word banquet, there is going to be a major celebration. It's called the Bridal Feast of the Lamb. On this magazine cover, there was a richly set table with the dishes and, I was going to say goldware. I suppose silverware is the language that we use, and there were goblets and so forth and so forth. But that table went out and disappeared in infinity. There's going to be a crowd there. That table disappearing into a cloud as the perspective angle was very impressive, very impressive. The wedding feast, the celebration, that time when we will be intimately involved with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an experience. Now, while that's all going on, something terrible is happening here. It's called the tribulation. Perhaps you've read the series of books, Left Behind. I've read, 12 of them now, I think. It's the story, a fictional story, a novel, written with a biblical context on what happens in that seven-year period of time. A readjustment. It's the story of the readjustment, because people continue to live. The New York Times, millions of people disappear. Nobody knows why. There will be loss. People that we know will be gone. If you're not saved and are not gone yourself. And in the 7 years that follows that, there is acclimatization. Is that the good word? The Antichrist comes, because this world that we live in is Satan's kingdom, and he's going to step in with a world ruler. A world government is going to be set up, and chaos breaks loose, and that's all recorded for us in Scripture. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because at the end of that tribulation period time, when the armies of the world are going to gather in the Middle East in a place called Armageddon, the greatest human slaughter of all times is going to take place. And it's a figurative explanation that's given to us. The Scripture says, blood will flow to the depth of the mane on a horse. At that point in time, the church comes back on earth again. The Lord Jesus brings that company back to earth again to wash that scene clean, and God is going to reign in righteousness on this earth. And the church that comes back with him is going to reign with him. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Huh? And in that context, he will rule with a rod of iron in perfect righteousness. Just an amazing thing is going to happen. That seven-year period is known as the tribulation, and nothing so horrible as that has happened on the face of the earth yet. The millennium is that period in which the Lord Jesus and the church will come back to reign for 1,000 years, the Scripture tells us. Thy kingdom come, it will come when he brings the church back to earth, and he will rule as it is in heaven. God's will shall be done in heaven, and when he brings the church back to earth, he will reign with an iron hand. Sin will be vanquished, and eternal judgment shall be administered. Thy will be done on earth. His will is done in heaven, and that whole influence is coming back. It will be just an unbelievable time. Now, if you look at the prayer, please, there is a break at that point. And will you notice what the next phrase is? Give us this day our daily bread, a simple request for the provision that God has for us. If you have your Bible ready, will you turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. I want to read two verses for you, please. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take thy name, the name of my God in vain. Feed me with food convenient for me. Isn't that an amazing statement? What did they eat in Old Testament times? Manna. That's another whole story, isn't it? When at the very basic deprivation time, alone in the desert, no water, nothing. I have been in some of that desert, and it is cruel. A nice sand desert isn't so bad, but this is crushed rock and stone and just first-class miserable. Food convenient for me. In that environment, God fed the whole nation of Israel from what a product that is referred to as manna. It fell on the earth as the dew falls. It was white. And the Lord's people were told in the morning, take a vessel the size that would supply your needs, and like the frost, scrape it together and put it in the vessel and take it home. It is sweet, like coriander seed. I have no idea what coriander tastes like, but apparently it's pretty special stuff. Take what you need, not one teaspoon more than what you need. Well, you know, what difference does it make? I'll take this much. And what was left over stank, and there were worms in it. Does it blow your mind? When you need a punch word in Scripture, there it is. The stuff stank because it was inappropriately used. When the Sabbath day comes, on Friday morning, go out and get two lots, enough for Friday and enough for Saturday, since Saturday is the Lord's Day. You will get a double portion. And sure enough, Saturday morning, there it was. Beautiful. Picked up on Friday, served on Saturday, no problem. Well, if it works on Saturday, let's pick up a triple amount and we won't have to go out on Monday, on Sunday morning. And it stank again. The directions explicitly were given, and where you violated it anyway, you had a mess to clean up. As simple as that. The Lord provided. Very interestingly, that was the food that they had for a lot of years. And they got sick of it, as you know. They got sick of it, and maybe all of us would. But the Lord provided in the direst of needs. Now, once they settled down in the land, food convenient for me. There were the grains, there was the fruit of the land, there was animals that could be slaughtered and eaten and so forth, and the fare was quite great. The Lord provided food for them. We have a new grocery store. No, supermarket. No, it's twice as big as a supermarket. One of these colossal places opened in our area. You can get anything from toothpicks to automobiles, I think, in that store. It has everything. I'm thinking at the end of the aisles, the whatever it is stacked so high you can't reach it to bring it down. I don't know why they do that. Perhaps you've noticed that. 10, 15, 20 cases high. Unbelievable, the stuff, the vegetables, the fruit, and all the things that you can do with food. And we're used to this in this country, aren't we? Anything you want. It takes money, I understand, but the variety. And McDonald's is trying to kill us. If we read the commercials and what the kids particularly are eating. Do we have any responsibility in appreciation of the food material that God has blessed this country with? Do you say grace at your table at home? There are so many that don't these days, that take all of this bounty, this gracious bounty that God has blessed this nation with. There is a Chinese restaurant in Ridgewood, and dinner in that place is $5.25. The Christians go right there after the morning meal. The whole tribe of us show up. It's good, and it's inexpensive. On one occasion, we are in this place, and it's a reasonably room. But there were small tables, and when we went in, my wife and I guess there were other groups with us, all of the tables were in a row from one end of the room to the other. And when we sat down, we had this other boy. Well, in due course, a family of something like 25 people prayed it in and sat at this table. It became pretty obvious that it was Grandpa's birthday. And there were children and daughters and sons and so forth and so forth. And they completely surrounded this table. The waiters came and took the orders. And while they were away getting the food, a man, I assume to be one of the sons, stood to his feet. Let us pray. Not let us pray. Let us pray. The whole restaurant. And he prayed for Grandpa, whose birthday it was, for the children, and thank God for the food. Out loud, so that people put their knives and forks down and listen. When our meal was over and things had changed, we went up and talked to Grandpa and congratulated him and just said, how nice to see the boldness of publicly thanking God for blessing. Saturday, Friday, Mary and I had our lunch at Subway sandwich store. Familiar with it? Excellent. It was lunchtime. When we turned around, the tables were about this size. There were one table with two chairs, and the other table was up against this one with two businessmen speaking. So here we are. Somebody right there, Mary there and me there. So we did it anyway. no reaction at all. What a simple way to publicly acknowledge that we own the Lord Jesus as our Savior. I hope you do it at home. I hope you involve the children in it. They can learn to do that. And then when we get up, we were in a restaurant somewhere down here. We were down to whatever. And my back was to this group, but a group of teenage girls came in, six of them, I think, with an older woman, which may have been one of their mothers, and it was a girl's day out or so forth and so forth. And Mary turned to me and she said, look at what's going on. All the girls were being led in prayer out loud in this diner somewhere down here in the shore area. We went over and spoke to them. Lovely Christian people. And it was just fun to acknowledge that we had seen them and thank God for their interest in spiritual things. Don't do it to show off, but quietly, in a conservative way, let the world see that there are some of us that honor the Lord Jesus. All right, I'm going to stop there because I promised you a homework assignment, and I'm going to ask you to write something for me this afternoon. I'm not interested in embarrassing anybody. If you would like to share what I hope you're going to write this afternoon, we will try to give you an opportunity to do that some way. We haven't figured that out yet. But this is what I would like you to do. The Lord's Prayer has 65 words in it. We are told that we are not to vainly repeat these words. But the prayer has an outline to it. You can pick the outline up. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Those are all hooks to put your words on. And I would like you to follow the outline and in your own words, not the words from Scripture, write your version of the Lord's Prayer. I think you'll find it kind of fun. If you want to do it as a family, I have no objection. Every one of them ought to be different, shouldn't it? I have brought mine with me, and if you refuse to read yours, I'll inflict mine on you. But let's try it together. It wouldn't take you long. Do it at the dinner table if you care to. But write the Lord's Prayer following the outline, but all in your own words. And we'll see what we'll do with those this evening. It is 12:03. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, how very inclusive, how very remarkable this means of communication with thyself. And you have made it available to us. But Father, we note that there are serious qualifications. Our prayer will never be answered apart from a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would just pray this afternoon, this morning, that should there be any in our little company who have never had that experience, Lord, we would love to be of assistance. And there are mature women in this auditorium this morning. They would sit down with girls, young women, older women. There are men We wouldn't embarrass. There are quiet places that we could go to, Lord. But how critical that everyone present have an experience of inviting Jesus Christ into their hearts. Father, where there is such need, bless, we pray. So we give thanks for this wonderful part of thy word, and even as we work with it this afternoon, Lord, that thou would bless us and use us for thy glory. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.